A blessing to you moms. Let's give our moms a round of applause. Let's just give them a big round of applause. And you can stand up and do so if you want to. But let's just give our mothers a big round of applause. Amen. Amen. Somebody's got to stop it or it'll go on forever. But really, a blessing to you moms. That's what I want to share with you this morning. I want to do something a little bit differently. I want to give you a blessing. Nothing for you to do. This is not a message for you to do something. This is a message for you to receive something. So I want you to sit and receive a blessing this morning. And that's literally what this morning's message is titled, A Mother's Day Blessing. And in parentheses, you could put, you don't got to do nothing. But I want this blessing to revolve around three words. Vibrancy, resiliency, and serenity. Vibrancy, resiliency, and serenity. As you walk with the Lord in the days and the weeks to come, surely goodness and mercy follows you all the days of your life. I pray a blessing upon you that so would vibrancy, and so would resiliency, and so would serenity. And I'd like to launch this blessing this morning from the word spoken by a man that many of us are familiar with, a man named Boaz, to a woman named Ruth, who was, at the time that he spoke these words, a stranger, but would one day become his wife and the mother of his son, Obed, who would then become the father of Jesse, who would then become the father of David, who would then become the father of Solomon, two of Israel's greatest kings. Godly mothers, this is for you. Boaz said to Ruth, may the Lord repay you. This is Ruth 2:12. If you just can't help yourself and you want to take notes this morning, if you have a hard time just sitting and receiving, that's fine. No, you can go ahead and take notes if you want. I'm just messing with you. Boaz said to her in Ruth 2:12, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Ruth 2, verse 12. May the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Godly mothers throughout the centuries have taken refuge under the wings of the Lord. I can tell you that my mother sure did, because with 8 children, there was live ammo going around all the time. My mom was a blessed are the peacemakers. She was the peacemaker in the family. My dad was not. Well, he was, but he was a different kind of peacemaker. He was the kind of peacemaker that the cowboys used to wear in their holsters, you know, and they pull out. It was also called a Colt 45. He was a peacemaker that threatened and then caused major damage, thus bringing peace. But my mom was the peacemaker. And you know how our legal system is weighted. Theoretically, it's weighted so that we would rather see the guilty get away than to have the innocent punished. Theoretically. Well, my dad didn't subscribe to that. He was old school. And so if something in the house wound up missing or broken, he would line all 8 of us up. And if there was no confession from any of us, then all of us got it. And so as my mom took refuge in the under the wings of the Lord, much of what she was taking refuge for was our safety. Her prayer was, Lord, don't let Ernest kill him. He was a wonderful father, but I think James Brown must have had him in mind when he said, Papa, don't take no mess. He was old school, and Mom was sort of standing in the breach, and her prayers were largely about protecting us. And she was a peacemaker, but don't catch her wrong, because she could wield a mean something when she wanted to. So I suppose that it could be said about most mothers who take refuge in the Lord that don't catch them wrong. They can be peacemakers, but watch out on a bad day. So my blessing to you, as you, like Ruth, take refuge in him, is first of all, may the Lord bless you with vibrancy. May the Lord bless you with vibrancy. Vibrancy is the state of being full of energy and full of life. A lot has been written about and spoken about the woman described in Proverbs 31. And there's a wide opinion on the various details of her actions and her character. Lots of books have been written. Lots of seminars have been given. Lots of sermons have been spoken on the Proverbs 31 woman. And depending upon who you're listening to, you could be anywhere with that. But I think that there would be almost universal agreement on two things about her. As you read through Proverbs 31, you see that she was a vibrant woman. She was vibrant, full of life. She wasn't worn out by the challenges of motherhood, but somehow she was able to absorb them and exude life, experiencing the fullness of life. We see that in phrases like she worked with eager hands and laughs at the days to come, and she senses the value of her work and those kinds of phrases. And I believe that there'd be universal agreement almost that this vibrancy was fueled by her relationship with the Lord. At the end, it says a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. And so I pray you, mothers, I pray you vibrancy at home, vibrancy in the workplace. And your deeds may vary from hers, and you may not be doing exactly the same thing the Proverbs 31 woman did, but may the Lord give you a matching spirit, regardless of the uniqueness of your circumstances. You know, in the last few months of her life, this was back in 2004, I visited my mom. She lived in Michigan, and I was still here in Maryland, so I went back to see her. And this was probably September, and she passed away in January. But I went back, and I went back with a specific focus because I knew I might not get back in time to see her. I knew her health was declining fast, and I just wanted to make sure, though I had told her many times, I wanted to make sure that she heard it again from me, looking at her eyeball to eyeball and heart to heart and arm to arm when none of my other siblings around competing for time and space. And I looked her in the eye and I said, Mom, I want you to know how much I appreciate all that you have done for me and all that you have been to me. And I cited some examples, and they were some crazy examples. She did a lot for me. I don't know about the rest of my siblings, but she did a lot for me, just dealing with me, just letting me still live there. All the stuff through elementary school, and when I drew a picture of one of my friends naked and the teacher snatched it and called my family in, and that was so awful. I'm like in second grade and I'm drawing this picture of my friend naked, chained to the wall. And the worst feeling in the world is when you see that hand snatch the paper from behind you and she folds it up and takes it. Don't throw it in the trash. You know you're going to see it again. You know you're going to see it again. And sure enough, down to the schoolhouse came my mom. Teacher said, Mrs. Beatty, I just wanted to call you in for a short conference. And then that rumpled piece of paper came out And she showed it to her, and I was so mortified. Mortified that my mom saw it, and boy, desperately pleading that my dad wouldn't. Somehow I survived. That I am here today means my mother loved me. So I just wanted her to know about that and so many other episodes and incidents in my life that she just cared for me when I didn't even know what she was doing. And she took it all in and listened to me and smiled. And she said to me, she said, Danny, I just want you to know this. I just wish, she said, you're so welcome. And she said, I just wish that I could go back and do it all over again. Now, that's vibrancy. That's faith or insanity. Maybe by that time she'd really lost her mind. But I appreciated it, and I appreciated this morning I was thanking the Lord for her example of faith and commitment and taking us to church and teaching Sunday school, giving us a spiritual foundation. And it wasn't, she wasn't gutting it out. That was coming from here. It was who she was, and she was imparting that to us. So I pray you vibrancy. Secondly, may the Lord bless you with resiliency, which is the power or the ability to return to the original form or position after being bent, compressed, or stretched. The ability to be able to recover readily from illness, depression, adversity, or the like. It means buoyancy, bounce backism, spring upness. An unknown mother once said, I'd like to be the ideal mother, but I'm too busy raising my kids. In other words, I'm too busy handling situations to sit down and assess each situation. I'm just trying to get through all of this. Now, I didn't write this with mothers in mind, but after reading it earlier this week, rereading it, I realized it's perfect for mothers. And it's in your bulletin, and I just want to read it through with you, and you can read along silently. The last page, right next to the notes page, the view from my place. And I want to put it in the context of motherhood and in the context of resiliency. So it's on the next to the last page, right next to the notes page, and it starts with, are you ever discouraged because you wish you were just better? Long ago, I concluded, when it comes to perfect obedience, I'm up a creek. Because even if I think I can avoid most of the biggies, like I'm not planning on killing anybody, at least not today, those insidious little ones follow me around like gnats on a muggy day. Secret, unloving thoughts and attitudes, pride, envy, grumbling. A lot of people may not think of grumbling and complaining as disobedience, but it sure doesn't look like giving thanks or rejoicing when I'm wearing it. That's why I'm so thankful for the cross and the empty tomb. By faith in Christ, we're blameless before God, not because we have no faults, but because we have forgiveness in Him, which means even on our worst days, we are now and forever guaranteed a love response from God. It's called grace. And as I realize this, here are a few obedience objectives that I'm inspired to pursue, especially when I'm not my best self. Abide in me. Trust in Him at all times. Believe in the one whom the Father has sent. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. These verses remind me that spiritual maturity is not living a perfectly godly life, but processing an imperfect life in a godly way. And that is by correctly viewing who God is to me and who I am to Him at all times. And when this becomes my focus and my practice, the other areas just seem to line up. Not perfectly, but oh, so much better. My prayer for you moms is that your relationship with the Lord would be an escape for you. That just as there are other things that you do in order to just find a place of peace and respite and get away and time out, that the Lord would more and more become that to you, and not just a place where you have to refocus on the issues, which makes being with the Lord sometimes more oppressive than refreshing, because you're revisiting the same issues that you're trying to get away from. So my prayer for you in terms of resiliency is that the Lord would give you grace to be able to escape with Him, escape in Him. And finally, may the Lord bless you with serenity, which is the state or quality of being serene, calm, or tranquil. Serenity that comes from resting in His ceaseless care by receiving the grace that He supplies for each situation. You know, doesn't matter what the situation is, His grace is sufficient for that situation. It may not be sufficient to see the results that you want to see, but it's sufficient for that situation. So my prayer is that the Lord would bless you to receive the grace that He is giving to you in that place with confidence that it's enough. Even if it doesn't fix the problem, my grace is sufficient for you. So serenity that comes from resting in His ceaseless care by receiving the grace He supplies for each situation. Serenity that comes from confidence in the Lord to provide whatever it is you think you lack. Serenity that comes from security in His unchanging love. When you feel like you're in a thankless place, security in His unchanging love. May you find serenity in accepting the simple truth that motherhood is simply a wild, a glorious, an unpredictable, frustrating, and fabulous ride. Because when we accept the nature of the beast, we find that we're able to more quickly move to a place of serenity. When we think the beast should be something else, we're frustrated because we're trying to tame the beast and make it something it's not. The beast is the beast. And this beast is wild. That's what it is. This beast cannot be tamed. It's glorious, it's unpredictable, it's frustrating, it's fabulous, but it can't be trained, it can't be tamed, cannot be corralled, and you never know what it's going to do next. So may the Lord give you serenity to accept that that's how it is, and that He knows that your ability to be able to navigate that, figure it out, make the right decision here and there, how much, how little, when not, all of that stuff, that He has taken that into consideration when He made you the mother of those children. He knew exactly who they were. When they came tumbling out, He knew who they were. He knew exactly what their tricks were. And their schemes and all little strategies. He knew all about them, just as He knew about us when we came tumbling out of our mother's womb, right? We didn't surprise him. Oh, there you are. I know you. And so may God give you serenity. Now, I have, at the last minute, I asked my wife to read a piece that I came across a while ago, but actually have never shared. Its author is unknown. And it does reflect the challenges and rewards of this wild beast as a young lady was contemplating starting a family with her husband. So if you wouldn't mind, honey, come on up. And let's see. There you go. Let me make sure you keep it right here.
Might be easier if I take the glasses off, actually. A younger girlfriend of mine and I were sitting at lunch when she mentioned that she and her husband were thinking of starting a family. She asked, "What is it like to have a baby?" "It will change your life," I say carefully, keeping my tone neutral. "I know," she says. "No more sleeping in on Saturdays, no more spontaneous vacations. But that is not what I mean at all." I look at my friend trying to decide what to tell her. I want her to know that she will never learn in childbirth classes. I want to tell her that the physical wounds of childbirth will heal, but that becoming a mother will leave her with an emotional wound so raw that she will forever be vulnerable. I consider warning her that she will never read a newspaper again without asking, "What if that had been my child?" That every plane crash, every fire will haunt her. That when she sees pictures of starving children, she will look at mothers and wonder if anything could be worse than watching your child die. I look at her carefully manicured nails and stylish suit and think she should know that no matter how sophisticated she is, becoming a mother will immediately reduce her to the primitive level of a she-bear protecting her cub. That a slightly urgent call of "Mom" will cause her to drop a souffle on her best crystal without a moment's hesitation. That the anger she will feel if that call came over a lost toy will be a joy she has never before experienced. I feel I should warn her that no matter how many years she has invested in her career, she will be professionally derailed by motherhood. She might successfully arrange for childcare, but one day she will be waiting to go into an important business meeting, and she will think about her baby's sweet smell. She will have to use every ounce of discipline to keep from running home just to make sure he is all right. I want my friend to know that everyday routine decisions will no longer be routine, that a visit to McDonald's and a five-year-old boy's understandable desire to go to the men's room rather than the women's room will become a major dilemma. That right there, in the midst of clattering trays and screaming children, issues of independence and gender identity will be weighed against the prospect that a child molester may be lurking in the restroom. I want her to know that however decisive she may be at the office, she will second guess herself constantly as a mother. Looking at my attractive friend, I want to assure her that eventually she will shed the pounds of pregnancy, but will never feel the same about herself, that her life, now so important, will be of less value to her once she has a child, that she would give it up in a moment to save her offspring, but will also begin to hope for more years, not so much to accomplish her own dreams, but to watch her child accomplish hers. I want her to know that Caesarean scar or shiny stretch marks will become badges of honor. My friend's relationship with her husband will change. I know, but not in the ways she thinks. I wish she could understand how much more you can love a man who is always careful to powder the baby or who never hesitates to play bad guy with him. I think she should know that she will fall in love with her husband again and again for reasons she would now find very unromantic. I wish my modern friend could sense the bond she will feel with other women throughout history who have tried desperately to stop war and prejudice and drunk driving. I hope she will understand why I think rationally about most issues, but become temporarily insane when I discuss the threat of war to my children's future. I want to describe to my friend the exhilaration of seeing your son or daughter learn to hit a baseball. I want to capture for her the belly laugh of a baby who is touching the soft fur of a dog for the first time. I want her to taste the joy that is so real that it hurts. My friend's quizzical look makes me realize that tears have formed in my eyes. You'll never regret it, I say. You'll never regret it. And I say finally, then I reach across the table and squeezing my friend's hand, I offer a prayer for her and for me and all the mere mortal women who stumble their way into this most holiest of callings. Author unknown. Thank you.